Welcome to the 5D Academy of Higher Consciousness. I'm Zarathustra, your host. I welcome you all. And today's topic, we're going to talk about when something's happening versus when it's not happening. And I'm going to get into that and explain it to you, what I mean by that, and get an idea about it. So while I'm having this broadcast, for those of you who are viewing this, we're simultaneously broadcasting on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, as well as on my phone, I'm doing the Instagram. But my attention is on my computer and Instagram is on my phone. So you're not really seeing me looking at you directly. I try to do it. So, but if you want to have direct contact with me, the best thing is to go on my website, Zarathustra.tv, and go to the Academy and sign up on the Academy and connect with me from there. It's a free service. You have no obligation. We're not asking for any credit cards or anything. And you can come and go as you wish. There's no, it's free. And you're free to, as long as you're respectful, you're welcome to join in and drop off. So that's how it works. That way we can see each other and you can ask me questions. I don't have the ability to answer questions on other platforms simultaneously. So just letting you know that, so you're aware of it. The nature of the existence, the nature of this beast, this presence, this life, consciousness, this search for realization is basically is that we're all looking for happiness. Nobody's crazy enough to come on a spiritual path for nonsense stuff. We are drawn to this path is because we're looking for some sort of satisfaction. We want some answer. We want to be happy. So this is what we want. Happiness is the ultimate goal for spiritual seeker. Now, you may say, I'm looking for enlightenment. I want to become one with God. I want the final realization and this sort of things. But underneath that is we're basically looking for inner peace. We're looking for happiness. Sorry, if I cough or sneeze, it's because of the cold I've got. So we want to be happy. But we are trained and conditioned to believe that happiness is an object. Happiness is something that you have to gain. I give you an example. Something has happened that you have to work on to get, and that's going to make you happy. For instance, we all want love. We all want to have a soulmate. We want to have a partner for whatever reasons, but we want to have a partner that makes us happy. So let's say you're looking for the love of your life and you are doing it. You're looking for your love of your life with the intention of satisfaction. You want to be happy once when you hook up with your love of life, whether it's a man or a woman. And you do that because you're thinking that this person is going to make you happy. And a lot of times they make us happy for a short period of time, whatever short is, a day, a month, 5 years, 10 years, and then it ends, it changes or falls apart. Or something happens and you change your paths. You may think happiness is, okay, I want to buy a very exotic car. And if I get my car, I'm going to be very happy. It may be for you that if I'm making a lot of money, I'm going to be happy. So you work on it. Eventually, you become very successful and you're making a lot of happy. You're making a lot of money, but then you're not happy. Now worries come. Now you're worried about paying taxes. Now you have a lot of money, so you're worried that maybe someone comes and hurts you. All kinds of other things come with it. You may think that, okay, if I buy a nice home, I'm going to be happy. Those are objects. So objects are desires. They bring happiness, but it's short term. The happiness we get from the objects of our desires is only short term. And then it ends. It's got a beginning, it's got an end. Then you want something else. So the show continues. This game keeps going on and on and on. So we're always on the search of another object, another feeling, something else that's going to make me happy, something else that brings satisfaction for me. And the spiritual seeker, as they get closer to the final destination, as they get closer to God, as they get closer to expanding their consciousness, and slowly, slowly, they're able to go beyond the primitive mind. Because right now, majority of its population operating from a primitive mind. Our way of thinking is still very primitive. So because of that, we cannot understand the nature of the being. We don't understand the nature of consciousness because we're using a primitive mind. But as your mind starts to open up and you get expanded, things starts to change. So majority of spiritual seekers are looking for awakening, enlightenment, or power, or in pseudo-spirituality, the new spirituality, the new age spirituality, the trendy spirituality, spiritual seekers, they're working to make their mind powerful to manifest things. So there's a lot of talk about manifestations through the power of your mind. And there's no shortage of teachers, books, seminars, workshops, free or paid, of different people teaching you that you can develop your mind to manifest the things you want. Yeah, I want to manifest a new girlfriend. I want to manifest a situation. I live in Bali and I don't have to work and money comes. I want to manifest health. I want to manifest a car, whatever that is. So a large portion of new spirituality is about learning how to empower your mind and your intention. Your intention is to have a good time or to have a great time or awakening, and using the power of their thinking to manifest things. That's what's happening right now. So, but why are we manifesting these things? What do we want to get out of it? Because we think, if we really get good at manifesting things, we're going to get what we want. And what we want is an object. What we want is we want to be satisfied. So if I can manifest this object and I'm good at it, then I'm going to keep manifesting other objects. But this is a trap. This is just a trap. It's never going to take you anywhere. The stronger you get into this business of manifesting stuff, the more miserable you're going to become, because it never ends. There's no end to it, because you're working on the power of the mind. Your mind gets stronger. Your mind is your master, and the mind is a horrible master. It's a very vicious master, but it's an amazing servant. As a servant, it's amazing. As a master, it's vicious, it's ruthless, it has no mercy. So we're trying to make the mind stronger. And the stronger it gets, the more in this spider web, and the more we suffer. So the key is to go beyond the mind, to go into this place that there is no thoughts. It's quiet. There is inner peace. And there is nobody there wishing to get anything. There is no one there wanting to manifest anything. Because manifesting things, what happens when you don't manifest something? What happens when you don't get what you want? You are really, really trying on somebody, some guy, some girl, some man, woman, to love you, to be with you. And you are invested in it. You're spending a lot of time, money, affections. And then at the end of the day, she doesn't want to be with you. She says, you've spent a year, 2 years courting her, dating her, and you think she's the one, and then at the end of when you want to ask her to marry you, or she asking her to commit to you, marriage, she says, you know what? Yeah, I'm not ready. I can't do it. Then what happens? You fall out of love. You feel heartbroken. You feel rejected. You feel horrible. You feel like shit, basically, because you didn't get what you wanted, and you have attachments to the results because you kept investing into this woman, this lady to marry you, to be with you, and your investments, they all went out the door. And now suffering comes. She went and married one of your friends, and now you're just suffering. Suffering comes because you're invested in an object. Let's say she says yes, and your investments turn to be right. You finally got her. How about a year after, 2 years after, 5 years after? And one day she may come and say, I'm not in love with you anymore. I don't like our sex life. I'm bored. I met someone younger. I don't want to be married. You don't know what's going to happen, but all you have to do is look around you. Look how many people have gone through heartbreak. What if 5 years after this marriage and this love affair, she gets breast cancer, and then the cancer goes to her lymph nodes, and then 3 months after she dies. Now she's gone. Then what? You're suffering because you lost the object of your desire. So is that freedom? Is that inner peace? Is this what you want? Is this what you call manifesting and happiness? If that's it is, then good for you. Continue doing it and enjoy your suffering, because that's not what I want. I have gone through these phases, and as crazy as I am, I realized that I want inner peace. And inner peace does not mean that I manipulate my surrounding to be the way I want them to be, because that doesn't work either. There's always something happening. This morning, when I was parking my motorcycle and coming to my home, I had an encounter with one of the neighbors. She was bitchy and angry and telling me I can't park my motorcycle inside the compound. And I was upset. I wanted to cut her head off. I literally wanted to cut her head off. I was pissed off. So anger came, violence came. So I cannot control my surroundings. I cannot control things happening in the world. And maybe they kick me out of here because I want to park my motorcycle inside the compound. And she's telling me you can't. So maybe they kick me out of here, or maybe I just leave. But I cannot control other people or control my surroundings. Maybe I can control myself, maybe. But this event, this encounter with this lady did not affect my consciousness, did not affect the way I am inside, did not disturb my inner peace. The inner peace that it's been discovered within myself, it's not conditional. It's not an inner peace depending on things, events going my way. Things and events may not go my way, but the inner peace is not touched. Maybe they kick me out of here. Fine. But they can't touch who I am. Nobody can touch who I am. They can beat me up. They can torture me. They can burn my hand. They can put me in jail. They can humiliate me, but they cannot touch who I am. That discovery is permanent. No one can take it away from me, or no one can add on to it. It's always here. Any questions so far? No. Oops. Sorry, I lost my answer. No questions. Okay. Now, regarding the topic of, can you do me a favor? There's like this thing for air conditioning. Oh, can I have it, please?
Can you hear me okay, Zarathustra?
I beg your pardon?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. I'm trying to be consistent here.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Did you want to ask me something?
Yeah. Consistency is important, wouldn't you say?
Consistency in regards to what?
On the path.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? So I make sure we're talking about the same thing.
Yes, because when you're going through things, you know, the emotional things and, you know, going through events and things like that, that we go through, we come back to our center, and that's a good thing. But to make sure that we're consistent with that could be important.
You're to absolutely, me it is. Yeah. Sorry. Are you finished?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We discover our center, as you just mentioned, and things will throw you off. And once you discover your center, you always come back to that place. You always come back to your center. So this is the center, for example, and these are the emotions. Things go well, things go wrong. But you always come back to your center. Yes, absolutely. Elijah, go ahead.
I don't know really how to ask the question or how I'm supposed to share it, but I was thinking about all this thing that we are entangled, all of us, we are all connected.
Uh-huh.
And also we are projecting out into our field. So even if we cannot control or manipulate, at the same time, we are powerful beings and we are projecting out. That's my experience when I examine it.
Right. Okay.
Do you want to add something around that?
Well, you didn't ask me a question, so I don't know.
Yes, because you said that we cannot control or manipulate things, but at the same time, as I experiencing it, when I'm in the observer, also when I examine it, the way I observe things, also I influence my reality and the people around me in my reality. The way I'm viewing them, the way I'm observing them, and the way I'm projecting things out to people.
Yes. Yeah. Everything is interconnected.
Yeah.
So any action, any movements that or non-action, whatever you do, is affecting everything else. Same as everything else is affecting you.
Yeah. And also my feelings that I'm broadcasting and projecting out into the reality, and also my thoughts that I have around people.
Right.
And I've also examined it, for example, with my father. For example, if I'm in this loop that he's generous, then all of a sudden he's very, very generous. Or if I'm in a period where I think that he's a pig, then he behaves like a pig.
So that gives you the illusion that your state of mind is projecting an outcome. That gives you, it appears to be that when you are negative or positive, you get the outcome from your dad. It looks like it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it appears to be that way. That's an appearance.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah, so are we talking about then relative reality or absolute reality? The relative reality is it appears to be there is a person named Zarathustra. This fellow named Zarathustra has a life, he's got choices, he makes mistakes, and he accomplishes things, and he decides. Sometimes he's projecting something nice on somebody and he gets the reflection back. Sometimes he's being an asshole and people around him being an asshole to him like that. It looks like it. This is just an appearance on both sides. Yeah. It has nothing to do with absolute reality.
Yeah.
In absolute reality, there is no you and there is no your dad. Your dad doesn't exist. You both are the same.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
You're both the same.
Yeah.
You're only dealing with an aspect of yourself, and neither of you have anything to say.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
Neither of you have any choice.
Yeah, because we're part of this higher intelligence.
And the higher intelligence is the only one who has the final say. Nobody else has anything to say.
Yeah.
Because, okay, anybody's been ever in a discotheque, old days, in a club, a disco, and have you seen this glass rolling ball that is turning and there's light to it? And this rolling ball projecting all these colorful images. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Okay. And then there's like thousands of little shadows of light are turning around. Have you seen that? The disco ball is turning and all these lights are turning. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So where is this light coming from? Is it coming from the disco ball? Or it's coming from the light that's hitting the disco ball and projecting it around it. Where is this light coming from? These images, the disco ball is turning and these little lights are turning around too.
It comes from inside, from the center.
Well, the disco ball by itself doesn't have any light. It's just mirrors. So you need that light to hit it to make reflection, right?
Yeah.
If you turn off the light, those thousand lights, the ball is turning. Those thousand images that are turning, they stop, don't they? If you turn off the light.
Yeah.
Okay. We are those images.
It's interesting because how I'm experiencing it, it is like I'm like the center of the disco ball, and then all these lights come out, all these images. And at the same time, simultaneously, I'm part of like one reflection coming out from the disco ball.
That is true. You are all of it simultaneously.
Yeah.
But the mind does not understand.
No.
The mind doesn't understand that your creation and the creator simultaneously.
Yeah.
The mind doesn't understand that if somebody breaks into your home right now and come and kill you with a knife, the mind doesn't understand the person who's coming to kill you is your own self. You think an intruder has walked into your home to kill you because the mind thinks there is another person there. An enlightened being knows that there is nobody there. So it takes time to come to that understanding. Now, you brought something very good. I appreciate it. Now let's talk about the topic that originally we were going to talk about. And my dear sister Hilda brought it up. So let's talk about that. Can you tell us this topic one more time, when it's happening and when it's not happening, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Has ever any of you got into an exercise program like you're going to the gym 3 times a week and you're working out and you're trimming down and you're on this regimental program, feeling good in shape, and you're regularly, maybe for 6 months or a year or 2 years, you're exercising regularly. Have you ever been in your life, had that? Anybody? No? Yes? No? Or forget about exercise. I don't know. You've been on a super good diet. You've been a good boy, good girl. You're eating the right things for a period of time. And it's happening effortlessly. It's not like you're forcing yourself to go to the gym. It's not like you're forcing yourself to eat the right thing. It's just happening effortlessly. You have the energy for it. You want to do it. You're excited to do it. And you're doing it for 6 months or a year. And then something happens. You catch a nasty flu, or somebody passes, or your job changes, or you move or something, and you get out of your rhythm. And you go through another year that you're not exercising and you're not eating well. Have you ever had something like this happen? Just let me know. Raise your hand. If yes or no, I want to know you're here with me. So that's what I call when it's happening. Like, I give another example, like it's happening. Now, naturally, you feel like getting up in the morning, going to the gym, or naturally, you feel like when you come home from work, you get home, you change your clothes, and you go to the gym. And it's happening. You're on a rhythm. You have momentum. And you're doing it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And then something happens. You don't feel like doing it anymore. You don't have the energy for it. So it's not happening anymore. And I'm going to give you a personal example. I got a lot of personal examples because of my being consistent and being inconsistent. So before I came to this sort of realizations, before I kind of got an idea, and I'm not claiming that I know all of it because it's infinite and I don't know it all. I know a little bit of it. But let me tell you about the little bit I know is, let's say the first, like in the first time I went to Norway was in 2012. I go to Norway to do one workshop. I end up doing four workshops. Then I come back to LA and I go to Sedona, Arizona. And a Norwegian lady named Lily Bendres, who's very famous in Norway, and we're good friends, we became friends and brother sisters, found out about my work. And she contacted me. We had a Facebook meeting. And then she came to Los Angeles. I went and picked her up. We went to lunch. We met in person. And she said, Zarathustra, this is like in May. I am coming here in September, and I'm bringing 50 people from Norway. And I have a one-week retreat. And it's going to be in Sedona. And I would like you to do a shamanic event for us. She was the guru, but she wanted to fill in her. She did a sweat lodge. She did a vision quest. And she wanted me to fill up one of the segments. I said, yeah, great. I'm very honored to do it. So what happened? And she invited me to go back to Norway the following season. So what happened? All of a sudden, I realized this is a very good opportunity for me to finish my first book because I had all the writings written, but I was too lazy to publish it. And if I'm going to go back to Norway and this is going to be the beginning of an international career, I need to have some products. So I decided, I went to Sedona, Arizona. I rented a house. Back in the day, it was very cheap. I got a big house for like $1,500, fully furnished. I took one of my friends, Ava. I imported her to Sedona to work with me as an assistant. I hired a videographer, and I hired a book editor. And I made up my mind that in 54 days, I want to produce two educational videos, and I want to finish my book. So we started working 10 to 16 hours a day. I wasn't able to finish it in 54 days. It took 3 months to finish it. But at the end of the 3 months, I had a heart awakening, self-love, self-acceptance video. Back in the day, it was videos. And I had a third eye activation video training program. And I finished my first and only book, The Lightning Notes of Zarathustra, okay, in 3 months. And then I went to Norway, and then my whole spiritual international career started it. Then between 2013 to 2018, I wrote and finished the second book, Lightning Notes of Zarathustra, Volume 2. And it's been sitting on my computer since 2018. All I have to do is put it together and publish it. 2018 to 2023 is 5 years. Somehow, I cannot do it so far. Also, Bhairamji and I recorded a meditation album. Started it from 2012 and finished in 2017. All I have to do is put that one on Spotify. It's ready to go. And it's been 6 years, I haven't done it. It's like, hello, are you an idiot? All you have to do is put it on Spotify. But when I think about it, it's not happening. Somehow, the energy that at night puts me to sleep, in the morning makes me wake up, shave, shower, change my clothes, go out. That energy has not made me make the book, publish the book, and put the music on Spotify. It hasn't been happening, but it was the same energy that made me produce 2 videos, educational videos, and a book in 3 months. Then it was happening. Is it making sense now? So I realized I don't have any free will and I can't make any choices. Whatever choice I make is not my choice. Whatever accomplishment I make, it's not me doing it. And when I screw up, which happens quite often, it's not me screwing up. So I can't take any credit for accomplishments in my life, and I cannot be blamed for my failure. I'm going to say this one more time. None of my accomplishments in this life are because of me, and none of my failures are because of me. And I've done healing work on thousands of people. And let's say out of maybe 50,000 people that I've done healing on, many of them have been healed, but it has nothing to do with me. I can't take any credit for it. I wasn't the one who healed them. It was happening. And sometimes somebody comes to me and my hands are on fire and the healing energy is there. And choo, 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 boom, 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 boom. I do something to them and they get healed. Sometimes somebody comes to me and I do my best and nothing happens. So I'm going to give you another example. Maybe this helps you. These are all things to help you, pointers. This is like a fisherman. Let's say you live by the coast and you make your living off of, you're in a village. It's a little village. It's a fisherman village. And the fisherman is not going to go on in the ocean trying to fish when there is storms. The weather is stormy, the tides are high, the sea is very dangerous. The fisherman stays home. Okay, he's getting bored. So what is he going to do? He's going to go pull out his fishing net and he's going to repair the parts of the net that they need repair. He's sewing it. Maybe he's fixing his boat. Maybe he's painting the boat. Maybe a part of the boat is broken. So it's fixing the boat until the storm goes away. When the ocean is clear, then the fisherman goes on the ocean and is going to fish. Same thing here. Sometimes in life, you're going through a period that nothing is happening. You want to find a different job, it's not happening. You want to find a partner, it's not happening. You want to jumpstart yourself to go exercise, it's not happening. You want to stop your cigarette habit, it's not happening. You're doing the best not to smoke, all you do is smoke. It's not happening. And then one day, you automatically are not smoking anymore. All of a sudden, you have the energy to go exercise, and nothing can stop you from doing it. So you want to recognize that when it's happening and when it's not happening. And not mind boggle with yourself, not beat yourself up, because most people are beating themselves up. I want to stop smoking cigarettes. I mean, I have friends that when I see them, they absolutely drive me crazy. We meet up, we're having a couple shots of tequila, or we're having a glass of wine, and they're smoking. All they talk about is, I should stop smoking. I'm going to stop smoking. And then after a while, I go crazy. I go, can you shut up? If you're smoking, just smoke it and enjoy it. Every time I tell you, you're giving me a long speech about you shouldn't smoke. Well, then don't smoke, but just shut up. Don't keep telling me I should stop smoking. If you're going to be smoking, enjoy it. What's wrong with smoking? There's nothing wrong with smoking. Smoke your cigarettes and enjoy it. What's wrong with having a glass of wine? Enjoy it. Don't mind fuck. People mind fucking all the time. Either don't do it, and if you're doing it, just be total. Osho used to talk about it. Be total with what you're doing. And that's something a lot of people don't understand. Okay. If you have any questions, it's going to be a shorter academy because I don't feel good. So ask me if you have any questions. Feel free asking me. Yes, please. You can unmute yourself and ask me your question.
Hi.
Hi.
So as you were talking about this, when to like recognize when things are flowing and when they're not, I've definitely experienced that in my own personal experience. I'm just wondering, okay, where do I draw the line between recognizing that or accepting that, okay, things are not flowing right now and I need to take a step back perhaps, or just see things as they are, versus I'm lacking discipline?
Because you try once, twice, three times, four times to mm-hmm. start going to the gym and it's not happening. You have no energy. And then after second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, it's pretty obvious it's not going there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just let it go.
Very interesting, yeah.
Till it comes. And then one day you wake up and you just can't wait to get to the gym.
Yeah. I've definitely had this experience where, like, for 2-3 years, I wasn't, for example, with yoga, I wasn't in the same flow. But once my environment changed, once a lot of things changed, somehow it became so much easier to get up early, very, very early, get out of the house. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, do you think I don't really want to publish my second book or publish my music? No, I do. But every time I get up to go do it or I make an attempt, something stops me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned to just let the boss, the power, the source to do things. And I know when it's happening, nothing can stop me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was doing these third eye activation exercises. Were you there when I taught the how to breathe through your third eye? Were you a part of it, or you were?
I think so. I think it was towards the end. So yes.
Towards the end. When I came across this exercise, somehow for 3 months, automatically, every day at 6 o'clock, I would mm-hmm. wake up. Immediately, I would sit in a lotus posture position, and I would start doing this breathing exercise for a half an hour. It was absolutely effortless. And this happened for 3 months. After 3 months, it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So it was happening. What about when you meet somebody, when you meet somebody you like and you're really into them and they're really into you, and maybe you don't like their belly. Maybe the guy or the girl or something is not your favorite something. Maybe you meet someone, they don't really fit your criteria. You met a man or someone or a woman, and he is into stock market, or he smokes cigarettes. But there is this force, like you're thinking about the person, and you're sending each other texts, and that person is sending you texts, and they're calling to each other, and you're just changing things to just see each other. And the person lives in New York City and you live in Washington, D.C. But it's really happening between you two. And you change everything to just be with this person, even though you're not each other's style. It's happening. It's bigger than you and I when it's happening. And when it's not happening, there's nothing you can do about it. Everything on paper looks great, but it's not happening. How about that you met somebody, you really like him, they say all the right words, and you're talking about starting a business together. So let's say, okay, we want to open up a yoga studio together, and everything looks good on paper, but something inside you is saying no. I mean, the other person looks, they look perfect, they have money, they have experience, but something inside you is like, I'm not really sure. There's something holding me back from this. Something's not 100%. It happens all the time to us. So the recognition of this is like tides, like in the ocean. Have you ever observed surfers? Because I lived in San Diego of a total of 7 years. And back in the day, I had a lot of friends who were surfers. I never done surfing in my life. And this is back in my youth. And I was a swimmer. And it would have been a very easy thing probably for me to learn surfing. But I never did it. I never got on a surfboard. Not even once in my life. And I had friends who wanted to teach me. And I lived at the perfect place. And I would go to the beach and just sit there and watch the surfers. And there were no ties. They're there from 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, and there's no ties. So they're all lying down on their surfboard. Can you get up on your surfboard and surf if there's no waves? No, you can't. You have to wait till the wave comes. Then you get up and ride the wave. Same thing in life. Let's say you want to make money. And no matter what you do, you don't make any money. You lose money. You're going to try something online, you lose money. You go get a job and you don't like the boss, they're abusive. You try to do a business, you lose money. Whatever you do, you put your money in stocks, you lose money. You buy crypto, you lose money. Anything you do, you lose money. And then when it's happening, no matter what you do, you make money. All of a sudden, it just comes to you. All of a sudden, everything becomes really easy. So you have to wait till the wave rises. Imagine yourself a surfer, surfing. Watch surfers. Go online, go on YouTube, and watch surfers. They only get on their board when there's a wave coming. They can't get on their board and surf if there's no wave. And it's the same thing in life. You're going to have to wait till the wind comes. And keep in mind, waiting is meditation. Waiting is meditation. And a lot of times we're impatient. We want to get to our destination, especially in our spiritual career, in our spiritual seeking. We want to get to the point, and we don't realize the journey is the point, not the final destination. Your years of seeking and suffering and failing and accomplishing is what prepares you and seasons you. If you don't fail, you don't go to frustration, disappointment, self-blame, self-hate, because you screwed up. You're never going to get seasoned. That's the part of the deal. If you get on a spiritual journey and immediately you get to the point, it's of no value. It's the hardship and it's the struggle and it's the journey that gets you seasoned, not the destination. So you change your point of view. You change the way you look at things. And when you change the way you look at things, all of a sudden, the quality of your experiences changes. Things don't necessarily get easy, but the quality changes because you're not pushing it. You're not forcing it. You cannot force God to come to you. You cannot force for your third eye to open up because you're doing third eye activation from morning to night. Especially in God business. It's not you who chooses, I want to become one. I want to realize God. You have nothing to say in this business, my dear friend. It's Her Majesty the Supreme decides whether you're ready or not. And once she decides you're ready, she will show herself to you. She will pour her love to you, and you will be in love more than ever before. You will experience love beyond anything. People say the mother, the love of the mother for the child is the ultimate. This is beyond that love. This is the mother of all loves. When she shows herself to you and she finds you worthy, you experience something that it's beyond anything else on this planet. Armies, soldiers, tanks, jets, warships, biggest, baddest armies in the world will bow at your presence. They bow at the presence of the awakened one, because the power of the love that comes out of them pierce into the toughest armor ever existed. No one can resist the love of God. You become like a junkie. Junkies, they want heroin, they want cocaine, they want whatever they want, and they're willing to sell their kids, their rings, their food, themselves to get a fix. You will be worse than them. Once love of God comes to your life, you want more, more. You want more. You don't care about anything else. You just want more love of God, because it's beyond. You will be like junkies. When I say like junkies, I don't mean bad. But when God shows itself to you and she gives you a touch of it, it's over. There's no ifs or buts. You want that. And the more she gives to you, the more you're willing to let go of everything in your life. You give away everything, because that is the true love, because it's not conditional. We are programmed for conditional love, and we're projecting love as an object. This is our shortcoming. Excuse me. I'm taking some medicine so I don't cough and my nose doesn't run. And that love comes. It doesn't matter. You've been a serial killer. You're a murderer. You rape people. You killed people. When she chooses you and you're in prison, life prison, you're going to be in a prison for life. And she comes to you. She chooses you. And you just spend the rest of your life immersed in love of God. Whether you've been a good person or a bad person, she decides to whom she's going to show herself, and peace will come in your life. You know all is well in that moment. Nothing can disturb you. Things happen in the world, but you know deep down in your heart that love wins at the end. Love wins everything at the end. And that you cannot manipulate to bring it into your life. I don't care how many courses you take, how many lectures or workshops you go to, and how many trying to manifest blah, blah, blah you practice, none of it is going to do the trick. She's the one who reveals herself to you. Until then, we learn to be quiet. We learn to be humble. We learn to be available. Meditation that we do is not an action. Meditation is not something you do to manipulate God to come to your life. People think it's an action. I'm going to go sit and meditate. I put my hands here. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Mani Padme Om, da 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 da. And manipulating, maybe God comes to my life. That's not how it works. You can manipulate it. Meditation is a natural phenomena that comes naturally. And meditation doesn't have any looks. Meditation is not, most pictures of a meditation, you see a beautiful woman sitting somewhere with a beautiful background in a lotus posture, and she's having her fingers like this. That's one of the looks of meditation. Meditation can be fine in making love. Meditation could be fine in driving your car, in running, in cooking, in ironing, even in fighting, you can be in state of meditation. Meditation, the work we do to become meditative, the work we do to be in a state of meditation is not meditation. All of this thing we do and we sit, that's not meditation. That's preparation for meditation. We are preparing ourselves for the real meditation to come to our lives. And when meditation comes to our lives, it can happen at any moment, anywhere. When your life becomes meditative, means you have learned to wait. Waiting is meditation. When meditation comes to your life, you are here. You learn to be here. You begin to experience being here, because most of us are not here. Most of us are residing in the past or in the future. Future is a projection of the past. It doesn't exist. But when we're here, everything becomes meditation. I'm having a little drink. It's meditation because I'm present with what I'm drinking. I'm taking medicine. I'm present with medicine. I'm walking with my sweetheart, having her hand in my hand, walking by the beach. I am present there. I'm not thinking of somebody else. I'm having lunch with my friend. I am there. I'm not on my phone sending texts or checking my Instagram. I'm eating food. I'm chewing food and tasting the food. That's meditation. That's being here. That's being present. Thank you for joining me. I have opened up the registration for life training program. I decided I will take 2 to maybe 3 students for the life training program, which it could be done online, and a shorter version of it is in person. That means that the person will come here and stays with me for a week or 10 days, and we'll go through the program together, as well as doing some work online, or we just do it online. So I decided that I'm going to do it. So if you're interested, write an email to me, and then we make a WhatsApp appointment, and we look at each other, or a Zoom appointment, and we talk to one another. My website is zarathustra.tv. My email is info@zarathustra.tv. And my social media pages are Zarathustra5D. The next academy, inshallah, God willing, if nothing weird happens, and I'm still alive, is going to be next Wednesday. I'm going to be consistent for the next month and a half, 2 months. And then I go on my European tour. My tour starts from Norway, then Poland and Germany. I'm sure I'm going to see some of you there. Thank you very much for joining me, sending you lots of love and light. Stay in your heart. Remember one thing, always remember one thing, that love is your power. Love is your true nature. And we'll go through ups and downs of life. There are times we're down, where times we're up. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're depressed, because things happen. And on this path, there are sometimes you feel you're lost and you're in a dark tunnel and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. That's a part of the deal. That's why you stay close to your teacher and you go back to your teacher, and your teacher brings you back into your center. So being lost, feeling bewildered, it is a part of the spiritual path. Don't panic. Just hang in there. And in the moments of desperation or anger or hate or self-hate, come back to your heart. Come back to your center. Come back and remember your beauty. Remember that you have the power to give love and to receive love. Giving love is just not enough. You also have to be able to receive. Because a lot of us have self-love issues. We don't think we're good enough. We're very good in serving other people and giving, giving, giving. But somebody gives you something, you can't accept it. So come back to your center. Come back to this place. And all of a sudden, the moment your mind is quiet and you're here, you feel the presence. You feel the presence of Her Majesty, because you're never lonely. You are alone, but you're not lonely. thousands, millions of different fairies, angels, beings. They're always hovering around you. They're communicating with you. And your beloved, your soulmate is here. Her Majesty, the Supreme Soul, is your lover. So you already found your soulmate. So if you want to make love to your soulmate. If you're lonely, laugh and joke with your soulmate. She's here. She's surrounding you. She's dancing around you. She's playing around you. So you're never lonely.